I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. And actually, we are going to read today from verses 46 through 54. I'm going to move to 55. Luke 1, 46 through 55. This is a song that is sometimes called the Magnificat. Mary has gone to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." By the way, Chris left out one thing a while ago. One other connection with Christmas and St. Nicholas and Santa Claus. Where was he born? Turkey. Need I say more? Here we are, the Sunday before Christmas, the fourth Sunday of Advent. Today, the cowards lit for us the candle of love. After we have been waiting and lighting those candles of hope, joy, and peace, this candle of love. And we prepare for the headlong rush of this week. Some people will make that headlong rush into the mall. Some people will make that headlong rush toward Woodruff Road, a place that I avoid like the plague. And then they'll make a headlong rush to get out of the parking lot only to be stopped in traffic for who knows how long. I just hope you have enough gas in your car to survive it. And then there will be other Christmas celebrations this week. Christmas caroling this evening. People will go to see family this week. We will have prayer meeting and packing of the fruit bags on Wednesday and Christmas Eve communion service on Friday. And then Christmas Day is here and then service is next Sunday. But I want us to pause for a moment. To pause and to take a deep breath and really reflect on this passage today, which is called the Magnificat. The world was in turmoil. Neighbors didn't get along. Jobs were not easy to come by. Taxes kept going up and up. And if this wasn't enough, a young woman was in a rather tight spot. She was pregnant. And not by her fiancé, her husband-to-be. She had never had any sexual contact with any man. Yet she was pregnant. Her family was incredulous. They could not believe this. Other people would talk. And Joseph, her fiancé, had barely believed. In fact, first of all, he didn't believe until an angel visited him. the story of an angelic announcement. But that angel had visited Joseph and he was supportive. Maybe she was too quick in saying she would do whatever God wanted. We don't know everything that ran through Mary's mind. And then she heard this other incredible story. Her older cousin, much older cousin, who was beyond childbearing years, was pregnant as well. And for the first time. And Mary needed to get away. To get away from all the hustle and the bustle. She was tired of giving the same answer to the same questions from other family and others who heard through the whispers in the streets. And so she went to visit Elizabeth. To get away from it all. And you know the rest of the story. You know what happens just before this passage that we call the Magnificat. As Mary walks in and calls Elizabeth's name, the baby within Elizabeth leaps, or so Elizabeth says, with joy and excitement, just as soon as Elizabeth hears Mary's voice. And then Elizabeth turns and tells Mary, just before this passage, how blessed not only Mary is, but how blessed Elizabeth is. But while the story is, in many ways, about Mary, it is also about her son, Jesus, and what God will do in and through that child, and in and through Mary. And it is also about how God can use the least likely of persons. I mean, a young woman in Israel in that day who had no real rights. And yet how God can use the least likely persons to do great things when they respond favorably and positively to God. In fact, Elizabeth reminds Mary of that greatness and of that blessing. She responds to Mary's presence, blessing her and asking why, and I quote, "The mother of my Lord comes to me." In fact, quite frankly, if you think about it, Elizabeth is the first person that Luke has speak that calls Jesus Lord, even before his birth. Two women in unlikely situations, and yet through them God brings blessing. And God reminds early on that God has not forgotten His promise to Israel. Mary, so overwhelmed by all that has happened, then breaks into song. Of course, this is Luke. Everybody sings at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. She breaks into song, a song of commitment. Earlier, when the angel Gabriel visited her and told her about this child, she said, "Let it be done to me as the Lord chooses." And now when she is reminded again, she breaks into a song about the child, but also a song of commitment, a song of her commitment to God and a song of God's commitment to His people, all who will come to Him. In this song, we find both God's love for her, giving, and the giving of responsibility to bear this child, our Savior. But we also find love magnified in and through Mary's response. God gives her that love, but then Mary magnifies that love in her response. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, Mary says. Her rejoicing is not in that which she might do, but in what might be done by God in her and through her, and what will be done by God through the child that she is to bear. And she allows that love and she allows that grace from God to be magnified in her. In the middle of all the chaos of her life and the chaos of her world, she opens herself to God's leading, to God's love, and to then be a means by which that love is magnified to those around. But think for a moment. After all, who is she to bear? The Savior. She is to bear the one who will save the world from their sins. Those who come to Him for forgiveness and who come to Him in commitment. And in fact, in verse 48, she asks, "Why has God granted this to me?" Someone so unworthy. "For He has looked with favor on the lowliness of His servant." She can't believe that God would use someone as lowly as her. But she wishes to magnify God with her soul, her psuche, her psyche, that which animates your being, and with her spirit, that which is deep down inside who she truly is within God's presence. And the word magnify means to praise the greatness. To praise the greatness of God. And she says, "I will do it with my whole being." Those things that make up who a person is and who they may become. Her soul and her spirit. But she chose to do that. And we can do the same thing. God gives us the opportunities to magnify God and to magnify God's love in and through our words, our actions, our entire lives. But we too must choose to use them and to let them be used by God. Mary says, "Surely all generations will call me blessed." Well, at the time of the announcement, I'm sure she didn't feel too blessed. But she's not asking or predicting that people would lift her up as the epitome of blessing, but rather, it is because God has blessed her and given her this mercy, and because of her willingness to follow God, that people will find God's blessing for them in her example. That's the blessing of generations. That we look to Mary's willingness. Sure, she may have thought, "Who am I?" But she also looked to God and said, "Use me." She didn't use it, her lowliness, as an excuse. But rather, she offered what little she had, herself and her low estate in life, to be used so that God might bless the world. Bless you. So that God might bless the world through the child that she would bear and through her example. She also sings that not everyone will be welcoming of this news. And we know that in that time and even today, there are people who do not welcome that good news of that child and of the redemption that God can bring. The proud, we might call them the uppity, those who rely on their own strength, their own will, their own fortunes in the world. But those who will humble themselves will welcome the good news. Chris talked about Nicholas. Nicholas, who had every opportunity to be the uppity, the few, the proud. Looked to the poor. He humbled himself even though he became a leader in the church. He humbled himself. He used that position to help the poor. And the poor will welcome that good news, not just those who are materially poor, although some of them will not, but more importantly, those who are the poor in spirit, who trust in God's grace. Just as this baby will grow up and say later, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens." They will find God's love and God's mercy. That of the one who is Lord, who is Savior, who is the Holy One, and who was recognized not just by Simeon later on after he was born, but was recognized by Elizabeth even before his birth as being Lord. And God takes note of these: the poor, the humble, those who are willing, who come with contriteness for forgiveness, and who offer themselves for God's use to share His love, to magnify it unto others. And God takes note of those, just as God took note of a young woman in Galilee around 2,000 years ago. And she is so blessed because she heard a word from God in so many different ways. And she responded in a positive way. She responded with commitment to magnify the greatness of God. And she kept these things in her heart. She guarded them closely, but she didn't keep them there for herself. She kept this calling there in her heart to remind her to share that good news of God's grace, not only in birthing the Savior of the world, but in telling others. And even when she had doubts later on about her son, she came back and continued to magnify that love, and was present at His crucifixion, was present at His burial, was present at His resurrection, and was present to magnify that love even on the day of Pentecost and beyond. Her commitment wasn't just a one-time thing, but in her song to God, her commitment was a forever responsibility and privilege. A helpless young maiden in a difficult situation, in difficult times, in a chaotic world. Sounds like our times, doesn't it? And yet God can respond to our helplessness and our willingness to follow Him even when the time is scary, if we will but magnify that love, if we will allow God to magnify it through us. We are here to imitate Christ, that babe that was born and grew up and is our Savior, and who is also our Lord. And that is certain. We are here to imitate Christ. But we are also given numerous examples of the greatness God can and will work. And one of those examples to which we can look is the example of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who though lowly, who though scared, committed herself to magnify that love. As we think about love magnified, and as we think about this young maiden's willingness to do so, may we also find that same commitment within ourselves to magnify God's love, even in scary times, even to neighbors that perhaps we don't even want to go. That's why we built the fence. But so that the world might be blessed for what God can do through you. Our closing hymn, our hymn of commitment, is 277, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, as they sing about that grace, about that night that we are celebrating and remembering, but also in glorifying that newborn King. There is that challenge for us to magnify that love. Our altar is open for any who would make any decision for Christ, to become part of this fellowship, or to recommit ourselves to love magnified. Hymn number 277, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.